When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another very special Liverpool Echo podcast. We've got the gang back together. Anyone who might have remembered our women's football podcast special from the summer will be pleased to know that we're all here again. We've got the exact same crew, and tonight we're joined by Emma Sanders, Sarah Halpin, and Catherine Batty. And myself, host Sam Carroll, I'm joined by the creme de la creme of women's football. If yous follow it, yous will definitely know those names. They're the big names. And they've joined me again because we've had some week here on Merseyside, I think, starting with the departure, the surprise departure, I think would be fair to say, of Vicky Jepson from Liverpool Women, and rounded off this week, tonight, the news breaking, and a little bit last night, that Damaris Agarola is leaving Everton. Months after signing in the summer for one of the biggest fees that the Women's Super League has seen, to obviously Leon have triggered her release clause and she'll be leaving. And we've also got some big games for Everton and Liverpool this weekend. All of that will be discussed over the next half an hour or so, but probably only one place to start. And we'll start with you, Emma. Vicky leaving a post after Liverpool, a sad day. A sad day for you and a sad day for Liverpool.
Yeah, certainly. Obviously, she was at the club for 12 to 13 years, so she's been a long servant of the club, and she's done a lot while she's been there. She's brought through the youth players. She's done a lot with the youth development. She's worked with the foundation. She's obviously then taken that step into the senior team. She was interim manager alongside Chris Kirkland. She was assistant manager with Matt Beard and Neil Redfern. So she's played her part, certainly. And then obviously, she stepped into the role. Well, I say stepped. She's probably more thrust into the role in 2018 after the departure of Neil Redfern after just one game. And then Chris Kirkland obviously left after a few months when they were working side by side. So she's been in the post since 2018. And it's just been a long hill battle for her, really, the whole time. She's had to deal with coronavirus. She's had to deal with issues with the Prenton Park pitch. She's obviously had to deal with the fallout of Redfern's very sudden departure, which meant that I think probably her first year was a little bit of a process in terms of shipping out some players in the squad that perhaps didn't want to be there. And it's only really, I would say, the last 12 months or so that she's kind of had her own players and her own squad to work with. And like I said, that has been affected by coronavirus. So it's certainly not been a smooth ride for her, but I don't think anyone can deny that she's given her all for the club. She absolutely loves the club, always will do. So certainly a sad day. And hopefully now it's a chance for the women's team to regroup, start again, start building the foundations again, and hopefully get back to the heights that they deserve to be at.
Well, as someone who's kind of followed Vicky's time closely, Emma, is there also though a sense of, do you think it might have been, is it the right move for both parties at this time? Do you think that both maybe needed a fresh start?
Look, it's always difficult when results haven't been going too well. Obviously, you know, they were relegated from the WSL last season. The results and the performances weren't good enough. Vicky, I'm sure, will hold her hands up to that, and the players will as well. So she was certainly under pressure going into this season. I think a lot of people perhaps expected Liverpool to walk the championship. I certainly didn't expect them to walk it, but I expected them to be challenging a little bit more. And, you know, I kind of expected them to be at the top by now and have at least a one-win gap. And unfortunately, they haven't really put in the performances this season. So perhaps it was the right time. Perhaps it was the right time for the club to bring in some fresh ideas and a fresh face. But personally, I think Vicky needed a little bit more time, really. I think the way they started the season, you could see signs of them developing, you could see signs of the squad coming together. So for me, I think she needed until at least the end of the season to really start to put things right. But look, the thing which is of my concern at the moment is that it doesn't look, it doesn't sound like there's kind of anyone coming in imminently, which is why I was surprised by it, because I thought, well, you know, if they're getting rid of her in the middle of a January transfer window ahead of Liverpool's biggest game of the season, arguably, then surely they must have someone lined up. It doesn't sound that way. Obviously, I could be completely wrong. They might make an announcement tomorrow morning. You never know. But whispers are that, you know, they're very much just starting the process for the application. So I do find that very surprising. But look, we can only wait and see what happens.
Catherine, Vicky only signed a new contract at Liverpool in the summer. Was you, obviously, they had that defeat to Durham just before the winter break, but were you still surprised by the timing of the announcement?
Yeah, I'd agree with what Emma was saying, actually. I was surprised that they did it now and not before Christmas. I think if they had that in their mind anyway, at least give yourself a bit of time, have a few weeks off to think, is there anyone out there that's available that we can bring in now? That's what West Ham did. They obviously went away, brought a new manager in. He's had time to with his squad before the fixtures start, whereas for Liverpool, waiting until after Christmas and doing it just before a game, and obviously a very big game as well, just seem quite strange. And I just wonder whether the club still think that they can get promotion this season, or whether it's just a case of we'll see how far we can get. If we go up brilliant, if we don't, we'll bring someone in at the end of the season and give them, you know, a full summer to bring more players in. And then, you know, hopefully we'll go straight up comfortably the season after. Or whether they, like I say, if they thought they could still get promotion this season, like Emma was saying, I think they would have someone in mind to bring them in and get that change immediately. Because obviously it's a system that's taken the game at the weekend. Very little usually changes when it's someone that's already been at the club that takes the next game. Like, I would be surprised if sort of formations and team selections change drastically. Obviously, it could do, but it's not usually the case. So yeah, I was surprised at the timing as well.
Do you think then, what would be your, if you put yourself in the shoes of, you know, Susan Black and Mike Gordon and a couple of other people who we know will be leading the search for the new manager, could you see a situation where Amber Whiteley stays in charge now until the end of the championship season and they reassess in the summer? Or do you think Liverpool need to act decisively and get a new person in to lead the club this season?
I think it'd be better if they could get the new manager in as soon as possible. I think that would just be beneficial for everyone. But like I say, I think it depends on whether the club actually still think they can get promotion this season. I'm not sure how many points they are off the top at the minute, but obviously it's kind of must win this weekend, and they can't really afford to drop many more points because they have had a couple of bad results already, and the league's so tight, and you've got, you know, Leicester, Durham and Sheffield United still not quite out of it yet as well. So it very much depends if they've got someone in mind, and if they have got someone in mind, they you know, whether they need to act now to get them before perhaps somebody else does, or whether they think they've got time to wait until the summer.
Emma, you wrote this week about people who could potentially replace Vicky Jepson at Liverpool. Matt Beard was one of them. Obviously, now he's taken over at Bristol City. Do you think, you know, Carla Ward, obviously the he replaced Tanya Oxtoby, but could Carla be a genuine contender for the role, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's obviously had experience in the Championship with Sheffield United for two seasons previously. She obviously joined Birmingham in the summer from them. She led them to their highest ever Championship finish last season when they finished runners-up. I think if she had stayed there this season, I think Sheffield United would have been, you know, giving Liverpool a real run for their money and probably favourites to go up to WSL this season under her. So she's come into Birmingham and done a fantastic job. She's had to really struggle and fight to bring players in. She's had really small player budgets, facilities, finances have been a real struggle for her ever since she walked into the door. I wrote an article on the BBC Sport website when she was about a month into the job when, you know, she arrived. There was only 8 senior players, so she had to do a hell of a lot of work in the first couple of weeks just to get a squad out. And each week it's been a struggle to try and get fit players. So I think the work that she's done so far, I think off the top of my head, I think it's 3 wins from their opening 8 WSL games. They also won a cup quarterfinal. So I think she's done a fantastic job so far. And I think the opportunity to go to a big club like Liverpool, where she will get more backing. I know there's lots of talk about Liverpool, whether or not they invest in their women's team. From a financial point of view, they do have a much higher player budget than anyone in the Championship and quite a few teams in the WSL. So from that side of it alone, she would be given a lot more support there. So I think it would be very, very hard for her to ignore that, given the fact that, as I say, she has enjoyed her time in the Championship. And if they win this weekend, I think that's really important, because they are currently 8 points off Leicester, but they do have a game in hand. So a win against Leicester on the weekend and then a win with that game in hand would see them jump up to within 2 points of Leicester, and they're right back into the title race. So I think if they were to win the game on the weekend, Carla Ward might look at that as an opportunity to step down into the Championship, bring Liverpool up into the WSL, which I think she would back herself to do in the last 6 months of the season. And then obviously she's then got this long-term project which she can start afresh from in the WSL with a much higher budget. So I think there would certainly be something for her to think about. And I think she will probably be there with her name in the hat as she was with the West Ham job.
Sarah, I know you're warming up here. I promise I'll come to you next. You're just waiting in the wings here, but I just want to quickly ask Catherine as well. To stay on the topic of the next manager, it's a strange one for Liverpool, isn't it? That obviously the calibre of candidate they're looking at obviously has to consider the fact that they could drop into the Championship for, you know, till the end of the season for 18 months. But, you know, as Emma's pointed out there, you're going to get a decent sized budget, and especially considering the Championship. And then it's also, you know, the badge and the history and the fact that you can probably, you know, glean from Jurgen Klopp and speak to all the kind of staff that Liverpool have on the men's side of things as well. So how high do you think Liverpool can aim to recruit a new manager?
Well, yeah, as Emma was saying, I think they should be, you know, aiming as high as a profile of manager as they can get. You know, the pull of the club will always attract players as well, without wanting to disrespect the other teams in the Championship. If you've got a player that's got an offer from perhaps a Durham and Liverpool, you know, 9 times out of 10 they're going to choose Liverpool because the size of the club and like you say, with the history and everything like that. So if the club do show the commitment to financially backing the team going forward in terms of bringing players in and making it attractive to a manager, especially if you're going for a manager that's in a job, you've got to make it attractive for them. Carla Ward's not going to go there if they say, yeah, okay, you know, if you get some good results, then we'll give you back. She'll want assurances over what she has to work with. The only other person that sprung to mind for me was Jane Ludlow, just because she's currently out of work and is another manager that's very experienced. And again, I think could possibly be persuaded to take the job if she was given the right backing. I don't know if she's definitely looking to get back into work straight away. I know she has a lot of commentary on the BBC, and I'd miss her lovely Welsh accent if she did decide to take another job. But someone, Carla Ward and Jane Ludlow, so I feel like they'd be quite similar in their approach maybe to how Vicky was in terms of personality. Obviously, Vicky was clearly very popular with the players, with the amount of, you know, posts on social media of players thanking her for the work that she'd done. I always think, as much as I love Matt Beard, he is a completely kind of different personality to someone like Vicky or Carla Ward. And I would have had question marks over whether he could have, this was perhaps unfair, but whether he could have gone in and got everyone tied straight away. But yes, I think Carla Ward would be a great appointment, and as would Jane Ludlow if they both wanted a job.
Well, we'll tag Sarah in. Sarah, how's things since last time we all spoke? You've been on quite the journey with Everton. You've made it to Wembley as well. What was that experience like to go to the FA Cup final?
Oh, well, yeah, it was just a day I'll never forget. To be honest, I'm still a little bit hurt by it. I think, you know, to have got so far and to come so close, you know, the way in which we lost the game at the end, two very, very late goals in extra time. I think the game deserved at least to go to pens, and the way in which Sandy McKeever was playing that day, I honestly would have fancied Everton if it got to pens. And there were chances in that second half where perhaps Val could have won the game for us as well. And, you know, it's all these margins. It felt like it was going to go our way. As I said, the amount of like goal line clearances, worldy saves that Sandy was making, we defended so fiercely and bravely. And yeah, I really felt like it was maybe going to be our day, but it wasn't to be. But just to get to Wembley with that team, you know, absolutely fantastic. And what a cup run. I got to see us beat Chelsea at Goodison Park and, you know, beat a good Birmingham side in the semi-final as well. And yeah, it's been a really crazy few months with the team and, you know, some disappointing results, I think it's fair to say, lately. But we've had plenty of injuries and stuff to contend with as well, and COVID, etc. But no, it's been a fantastic few months. And of course, the big news of Willie Kirk signing the massive contract extension, Claire Emsley putting pen to paper as well on an 18-month deal. So there's so much to be happy about and excited about with Everton Women at the moment.
And I think one of my favourite things of the day, and I don't know how you all felt, we were all lucky enough to be there inside Wembley, which was such a surreal experience, wasn't it, to be inside that massive stadium without any fans. But, you know, it was a day of Premier League football, and I think, you know, obviously the manner of the game, the way it went to extra time, and as you're saying, Sarah, both teams having chances, it got frantic, it was end-to-end. But, you know, I had loads of mates, people who wouldn't usually maybe watch women's football. A lot of people were texting me about the game, they were watching the game. You know, it obviously got a great broadcast on the BBC as well. But it was a proper showcase for women's football, that, wasn't it?
It was a proper cup final, wasn't it? And I think that's what you like to see as well, because we've seen in the women's game too often, well, in the men's game as well, let's not forget the City Cup final a few seasons ago where they won 6-0 or whatever it was. But you don't like to see cup finals where it's just an absolute rout, you know. And I think it was end to end. It could have gone either way. It had all the drama. And, you know, for a neutral, I don't think you could have really asked for more. Obviously, as an Evertonian, it was ultimately heartbreak on the day. But, you know, as you said, so many people would have tuned in to watch that cup final, and excellent coverage as ever on the BBC for women's football as well. And yeah, there was loads of people. I was the same as you, getting messages from all kinds of people from all walks of life that I know that were tuning in to watch it. And I think Evertonians that watched it as well, you know, we obviously know plenty of Evertonians, Sam, and you know, a lot of them now are following the women's team. Yeah. Not all of them are, but I think so many that tuned in to watch that cup final thought, tell you what, that is an Everton performance. That they left absolutely nothing on the pitch, gave it blood, sweat and tears. And yeah, I think every Evertonian that watched that thought, yeah, these girls absolutely deserve our backing. And obviously fans can't get to Walton Hall Park and to games at the moment, but I think they'll have a whole new host of Blues that are ready to go and watch them when it's safe to do so, definitely.
Well, to stay with you, one of the big talking points that was one of the reasons for joining together again in this podcast is the news that has broken this week about Damaris Eguerola. She joined Everton in the summer. And Lyon, obviously the European champions and the biggest club in women's football, have activated their £100,000 release clause, which is a massive amount of money in the Super League at this moment in time. Obviously, over the next few years, we all expect that to continue rising. But, Sarah, you're close to the players, you're close to the team. Disappointing news and surprising news, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I only the first sort of stuff I heard about it was the rounds on Twitter yesterday, and it looked like it was obviously gonna be happening. And yeah, disappointed definitely, because I think Damari will be absolutely one of the best number sixes in the game. She's so young and she's got so much class on the ball. And, you know, she didn't play that much WSL football for Everton in the end. And, you know, she played her part definitely in the cup final as well. And in the game at Goodison Park against Chelsea, where we won, she played a vital role in that. So, yeah, I think she could have been a real top player for us and was certainly one of Willie Kirk's, you know, big people in his plans for the team and how we were going to progress. But I believe they triggered the £100,000 release clause, which Lyon can do that because in the women's games, you said, you know, they are the most successful women's team in Europe. They've got the money to spend. And I think, you know, once they identify someone and they want them, it's very, very hard for that player and the club to say no. You know, there's not that many fees in women's football. And when money like that comes around, and ultimately Everton haven't had a choice. Willie said that Damaris would have liked to have stayed. You know, she was happy at Everton. She was enjoying her time and she was enjoying her football. But when a team like Lyon come and you know you're going to be winning the Champions League pretty much every year, winning the league, the facilities, it's about money for the player, not at all. She's such a lovely girl and a really talented prospect. And yeah, massively disappointed to see her go, but she leaves with everyone at the club's, you know, best wishes. Just delighted I managed to get her on the player podcast before she left because it was a quick turnaround. So I feel let down though. She promised we were going to make paella together and all that. So no, I'll never see those days. But no, in all seriousness, you know, wish her the very best of luck, and I'm sure she'll go on to be a real star in the women's game.
Catherine, what have you made of Damaris? And obviously she hasn't played a lot of football. She's only been here for a few months, but in those appearances that you've watched this season, what have you made of her? Only 21 as well, remember?
Yeah, I think she's shown versatility as well, because I'm pretty sure she's played sort of a holding midfield role. I don't know if she's filled in at centre-back as well. I remember kind of when Everton had problems at centre-back through injuries, we were saying also she could play that role if required, which, you know, for someone so young to be able to adapt to different positions is obviously a great trait to have. And yeah, I think we saw in the cup final, you know, she wasn't fazed at all by the nature of the big game or of being in a big ground. So I think she'll definitely go on and be successful at Lyon. And yeah, like I say, because she's so young, she's got so many years they'll improve her as well. You know, when you hear about Lucy Bronze and Alex Green, we're talking about their experiences in Lyon, just how much they improved as players. And they were already, you know, fantastic players before they went there, and they've come back even better. So yeah, she's going to be one to watch for sure.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Is one of the exciting things for you then, Sarah, over the next couple of weeks is obviously to see, you know, Willie already said in his press conference today that, you know, the money will be reinvested from that move and he'll be free to bring in some new players. I think Everton, as we see it at the moment, they're going to bring in at least two players, but it could be more than that. So it must be an exciting time for you to see what big names come in next, because under the kind of leadership of Willie and Savard Ismailov, they haven't been scared to bring in the big names, have they?
Oh, definitely not. You know, when you look at the players that have come in over the last sort of 18 months or so, and you've got, you know, Izzy Christensen, your Hayley Rasso, just to name a few, Sandy McKeever, you know, the Valerie Govan, Nico Sorensen, Mo Vold. We've signed Claire Emsley as well, you know, Poppy Pattinson. We're signing top class players now. And I feel like, as you said, we know we've got money now from this transfer for Damaris. And I think, yeah, it's going to be reinvested, and Everton fans should be watching this space and be very excited, because, you know, we saw even when obviously Chloe joined Manchester City in the summer, we're all very disappointed to lose her because we all know she's one of the best in the game. But what we saw then was top class players that came in to replace her. And, you know, Everton have arguably, I think we have dropped off in recent performances, key injuries like Rika Sawecki, Valerie Govan, Claire Emsley, all the rest of it. But I think when you look at Everton as a team as a whole, we have improved massively despite, you know, selling some of our best players. So yeah, watch this space. I think disappointed definitely to lose Damaris, but I think Willie Kirk is the man to replace her with an exciting name, and I look forward to seeing who comes in the next few weeks.
And where do we think, I'll kind of open this one out to the room, but I think Peniel Harder is the record fee, is the world's record at the moment for a reported $250,000. Where can we see transfer fees going in the women's game over the next few years? Obviously, there's, you know, going to be more television coverage over the next couple of seasons. So do we think that in the next few years we could see the first ever $1 million women's players? Is that something that could happen?
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely the direction that the women's game is going. As you've mentioned, you know, you've got more broadcast deals, got more sponsorship deals. We're seeing American players now coming to clubs in Europe, and obviously the WSL in particular. But that was something that a lot of American players didn't really look at before. The Champions League as a competition is now even bigger because there's more clubs being able to compete in it. Yes, Lyon is still dominating, but you've got the likes of Chelsea, City in England, and then you've got obviously the Wolfsburgs, the Bayern Munichs, the Barcelonas elsewhere in Europe that are obviously competing now. So I think Americans and the NWSL are now looking at Europe and seeing, you know, women's football as a whole become more professional and more elite, and naturally that attracts more attention, and the more big players that we have coming over and spreading themselves across different teams and across different clubs, I think the more coverage and the more financial interest you're going to get into these teams. And naturally, as the game grows and as the professionalism of the game grows, money will grow with it. So I don't think we're too far off that. I think we've still got a little way to go, but I don't think we're too far off that. So it's certainly exciting times for me.
Catherine, as someone who plays football, how much would you value yourself at? What are you valuing your goal? What are you valuing your goalkeeping skills at?
Well, it's been someone that played one game before the first lockdown, and then two after the we kind of came out of lockdown in the summer. So I've not played an awful lot recently. So maybe my dad would probably pay about £5 if I had a good game, maybe. Right, if I kept a clean sheet. But as Emma was saying, as well as the broadcasters, the more broadcasters coming in, I actually think clubs will start to perhaps make a little bit of money from actually when crowds are allowed to come back in as well, because the amount of money clubs have made in the past from attendances was never really that much. But I think as soon as people are allowed back into stadiums, I think we will see a massive increase in people attending games, just because fans have been starved of live football for so long. And I think people that maybe perhaps didn't used to go and watch women's games, well, if they can't get into it to see the men's games perhaps, and obviously a lot of women's games take place on a Sunday, I think we'll just sort of see more and more fans going, and hopefully we'll get more kind of sell-out ground crowds at the grounds, and clubs can actually make a little bit of money from that as well.
Come on to the final part of the podcast then. There's big games for both Everton and Liverpool this weekend. Emma, I'll come back to you. Liverpool, third in the table, 21 points from their 11 games, 8 points behind Leicester, but they have a game in hand. And happily, they take on the Foxes. They welcome the Foxes to Prenton Park this weekend, if, you know, all being well, which, you know, it seems like it is. It's such a big game, isn't it? Can you even begin to kind of describe what a defeat in this would be really, really damaging for Liverpool at this stage of the season, wouldn't it?
Yeah, massively damaging. And you know what, as I was saying earlier, I think the result this weekend could have an impact on the new manager as well, because you know, when I'm talking about Carla Ward as a WSL manager that might be looking to drop down, and you know, I'd imagine that there could be a couple of WSL managers that will be showing interest. If Liverpool are suddenly out and they have to sort of contemplate spending 18 months in the Championship, that's a whole new playing field. So I think that will have a massive impact on the new manager as well. But certainly in terms of, you know, purely the result for Liverpool and their immediate goals, which is obviously to get promotion straight back into WSL this season, I think they have to win this game on the weekend. I think it's a I don't think you can sugarcoat it, because if they lose, then they're 11 points behind, obviously with that game in hand. But as I said before, if they win that and they win the game in hand, then they're suddenly up to within 2 points, and that's and it's such a big game. And as not only from a points position, but obviously from a momentum and from a mentality point position as well. I think the players really need a boost, because it's not been a smooth ride over the last month or so. They have had some disappointing results. Obviously, they had the 2-0 defeat to Durham just before Christmas, which was really, really damaging for their title challenges. So I think they need it. I think they have to win. I think it's a must win.
And Sarah, to the Blues, it's mad to say it, because we've had some, well, Everton have had some good results in the, let me colours slip there, didn't I? Same week. had some good results in the Conti Cup against Manchester United and Liverpool, which were, you know, big games, even though we didn't end up progressing. But Everton haven't won in the Super League since October, which is almost mad to say, really, isn't it? So a big response. I know there's the classic Everton that saying, isn't there? You know, Bristol, who haven't won all season and have lost 8 of the 10 games, bottom of the league. But in the almost the same way for Liverpool, it's a big game for Everton for different reasons. They really need to keep the pressure on the Cities and the Arsenals, really, don't they? And this is a game that, you know, everyone expects them to win.
Yeah, definitely. And as you said, that stat is crazy to think, you know, we started by winning our opening four league games and playing some wonderful stuff. But as I mentioned before, you know, injuries to Valerie Gavan, Claire Emsley, Simone McGill, etc., and Rika Savecki at the back had been really damaging as well. But I think it's the games, like, we drew with Reading at home, we drew with Brighton at home after throwing away the lead in those games. And those are the ones that I think are really damaging. You know, you look at those, if you win them instead of draw them, that's an extra 4 points, in which case we're then level with Manchester City. And then when we have played the games like City, Arsenal and Chelsea, the score lines have been bad. They've been, you know, 4-0, 3-0. And although those scores absolutely haven't reflected the game, and that's not me just being biased, Everton, it's been these margins. These teams finished their chances where perhaps we haven't. But Bristol, as much as you know, we do say Everton that, and you know, I hate a stat like that. They haven't won all season. They're going to, you know, that makes me feel a bit nervous. But with all due respect to Bristol, I think Everton should have far too much for them. And I think it is a game that we should be winning comfortably. And we just need to get those points back on the board, hopefully put a bit more pressure on the likes of Manchester City, etc. And we need to win. And hopefully it's an opportunity to win by a few goals as well, and get that goal difference up, get the players feeling confident again. You get a win and a few goals and everybody feels better. And we've still got games coming thick and fast, especially after having to have a few games called off for various reasons. So yeah, it's a big, big game for the Blues. Bristol will give it everything because they desperately need the points. But yeah, I think it should be a comfortable victory for Everton on Sunday. Fingers crossed.
Catherine, as our resident Hull City neutral, I want you to put your neck on the line. Obviously, Bristol had that good result in the Conti Cup in midweek. They got through to the semi-final. And Liverpool, Leicester is a top-of-the-table clash. Where's your money going for those two games? Are you predicting a Merseyside double?
Well, I think Emma and Sarah should do the team talks for both teams, because
I love it.
I think, as we said, we would expect Everton to win. I watched Bristol play Man United, and they did actually have a couple of chances. They should have taken the lead, really. Ebony Salmon had a couple of chances, and she is the dangerous player for them. And obviously, Everton haven't been scoring as much recently, conceding due to the injuries that they've had. But I think get an early goal, Bristol heads probably go down, and you would expect Everton to come away with the win. So I'll maybe go for a 2-0, safe 2-0 for Everton on that one. Liverpool's ridiculously hard to predict, because you could get a reaction after, obviously, a manager leaving, but it also could work the other way. Leicester in very good form as well, and I think it will be a really, really difficult game for Liverpool. I'm going to sit on the fence and say a 1-1 draw.
Ugh.
There's a bit of a I think Liverpool have got a chance, just because like you say, I think sometimes when your backs are against the wall and you think, you know, you lose a manager that was obviously clearly popular with the squad, heads can go down. But sometimes it works the other way, and actually it kind of gets the team up. And so if I was going to go for one of them to win, I would go with Liverpool, go for a Merseyside double.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much to everyone who's listened to the podcast, and hopefully when we return in a couple of months' time, we're talking about Everton pushing for the Champions League places in the Super League and Liverpool topping the table in the Championship for an instant return. We will try and get back together over the next few weeks when the January transfer window closes and the future of the next Liverpool manager becomes clear. But thank you so much to Catherine, to Sarah, to Emma for enlightening us. It's always good to spend time in your company. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and we'll be back very soon for more from the Super League and the Women's Championship and all of Merseyside women's football. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue podcast from the Liverpool Echo.